Well, good morning, everyone. It's rather a lovely day. The reading we had is one of those readings that I'm reminded of almost every day. And why I'm reminded that is that we live in the world of donkeys. Often as I'm leaving home, I've got to travel down a rather bumpy road, very narrow, and I have to wait as a donkey cart trundles up the way. And often when I see the way they treated, the loads they're carrying, my heart is saddened that these animals of burden are being treated in this way. But there's another side to the donkey, and that is often when I'm lecturing, if we're up in the postgraduate building, I have to close the windows. Because the noise, the almost makes it impossible to teach the donkey. Jesus, in some ways, is picking up on the image of donkeys, and even as he was teaching this, there would have been the all around him. And he gives this teaching about the burdens, about the loads. But he provides a context into which that teaching comes. And that context is the context of wisdom. The context of wisdom. And it's that wisdom which enables us to walk through this life with Christ, with God, that is our invitation this morning. And where do we find this wisdom? And this is where Jesus begins, doesn't he? In verse 25, at that time Jesus said, and this is surprising. He turns round, he's teaching his disciples, he turns round, or he's almost in prayer here, isn't he? He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. Notice what Jesus says. Wisdom is available. Wisdom is there for everybody to take hold of. And yet wisdom is hidden. And why is it hidden? Jesus tells us. He says, I thank you, God, that you've hidden the wisdom from those who are called the wise, those who are the powerful, those who are the mighty, those who are the movers and the shakers of this world. You have hidden your wisdom and you have revealed it to the children, the undeserving, the weak, those you wouldn't expect it of. You see, wisdom is not about the power of my mind. Wisdom is not about the application of the scientific method to all that I do and say. Wisdom is about a relationship with God that is God-given. And it's always been like that. It's always been like that. Think of right at the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden. What did Eve do? She looked and she saw that the fruit was good for what? For wisdom. And in her mind, and in her intellect, she said, let me now apply this logic, for surely if I take this fruit and eat it, I will become wise. What was the problem? The problem was just this. Wisdom is not for us to take, but it is for us to receive. Do you see the difference? You don't take wisdom. You receive wisdom. You receive wisdom. And because it is received, there are those who are excluded from the wisdom, and there are those who are included in the wisdom. Think of Solomon. 1 Kings 5 verse 12. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom. Now I've just worked through the book of Solomon. And you'll actually know that, particularly in the book of Kings, what you're being told is that wisdom, that Solomon wasn't as wise as you might think. He had it all. But did he have the relationship with his father? Nonetheless, God gave Solomon wisdom. Again in Job, where Job says this, and he said to the human race, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and to shun evil is understanding. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Job's words. Proverbs. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Yes, there are many types of wisdom. But the wisdom we are speaking about here is the wisdom of relationship. The wisdom of walking with God. A wisdom that is given as we walk with God. I enjoy swimming. Do you know how I learned to swim? It's frightening, actually. I was only this tall. My parents were at a guest farm, and everybody was around the swimming pool. And I walked straight into that pool. I was about 4 years old. Fortunately, I'm alive today because I swam. A few years later, I was at school. And we went for swimming lessons. And you know, the first swimming lessons, what were they? I can't believe it. We lay on the grass and practiced swimming. Do that for half an hour. You know how itchy you were for the rest of that day? How do you learn to swim? Get in the pool, isn't that? And that's the same as the wisdom which is God-given. It is only as we take God at his word and say, Lord, teach me your wisdom. Let us walk through this life together. Let me understand your mind, that we have this wisdom. Wisdom is not taken. It is received as a gift of God. We read this, Paul tells us, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And he goes on. When we come to this image of this donkey, although it's just an animal of burden, Christ places it in the context of wisdom. A wisdom that is not seized by those who we would normally expect to have wisdom, the rulers, the movers and the shakers. But it's a wisdom that is given to those who are poor and of contrite heart. And as we look at our own context, we ask ourselves the question, where are we finding the wisdom for our life? What is understood by wisdom by our community, by our society, by our politicians, by our academics, by our schooling system? What is understood as wisdom? Is it a wisdom that is taken, or is it a wisdom that is received? Is it a wisdom that says, I think, therefore I am? Is it a wisdom that says it is foolish to believe in the spiritual world? Is it a wisdom that says there is no God? And those who believe in a God, they are to be pitied. They belong to an unevolved, primitive mindset. Is that how our society considers wisdom? Where I become the foundation of my own truth. There is no truth. It is what I feel. And it's what I declare. Is that wisdom? That's the wisdom of our age. But we need to remember that the wisdom of God is not the wisdom of man. It's the wisdom that is given. And Jesus goes on to tell us how it is given. He says this, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Who are those then who receive this wisdom? Who are those who take this wisdom on board? Jesus reminds us, it is related to himself. It is related to those whom the Son chooses to reveal himself to. The wisdom of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. He says here, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom. Paul reminds us, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness. That is our holiness. That is our redemption. You see what he's saying there? God, the Father, has given all things to the Son. And the Son takes those things and reveals them to those whom he has chosen. And that theme runs the whole way through the Old Testament, doesn't it? Think of when God took the Israelites out of Egypt. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God, and you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with an uplift hand to give to Abraham, to give to Isaac, to give to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. What is God doing in his Son Jesus Christ? He's creating a people for himself. It's a people who relate to the Father through the Son. This is the wisdom. This is the relationship. And they relate to the Father through the Son because Jesus is our righteousness. You don't have to do it. Hands up, those who genuinely believe that they have not a spot or a dot of misdemeanor in their lives. Anyone? But that's the good news, isn't it? Because Christ is our relationship with the Father. That's the wonderful good news. That is what takes a sinner and brings them into the presence of God and gives them a chance of restoration, of change, of transformation. Because it is Christ and he is our righteousness. All that the Father has, he's given to the Son. But not only is he our righteousness, but he is our holiness. He is our holiness. What an incredible concept. And what is holiness? Who here can say that every minute of the day that they have walked in the presence of God? Because that is holiness. Holiness is our relationship with God. When you go back into the Old Testament, even a spade could be holy. Did you know that? Because it was used in the worship of the temple. Jesus is our holiness. What a wonderful sight. What a wonderful thought. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our holiness. And what's more, Jesus is our redemption. Amen? Many years ago, I had a gardener working for me. This was in South Africa and only could take place in South Africa. One day his wife came to me and said, so-and-so is in prison. He was given 30 days for trespass. He was found somewhere where he shouldn't have been found. Okay, I know what to do. Took my wallet, went down to the prison. Not the brown envelope. And said, he has served 3 days. How much for the other 27 days? I calculated it. Told him it was 30 rand. I forked it out and I paid his ransom. And he walked out and he came back into the property. What had I done? We don't get that here, do we? Perfectly legal. You paid the difference. And his sentence was 30 days or 30 rands. That was what it was. He couldn't pay the money. He had been ransomed, hadn't he? He had been bought back. I paid the price of his misdemeanor. And that is what Jesus has done. He's paid the price for our own waywardness. Yes, the Father gives the Son. And the Son knows the Father. And the Son is the vehicle by which we can know the Father. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. It's walking in the light of God. But there's a wonderful invitation at the end of the section, isn't there? 28, verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Wonderful. This is the invitation of the gospel. Come to me. Christ is not deliberately excluding this person or that person or the next person. The offer is there. Come to me. Know that wisdom, which is real wisdom, that unites us to the presence of God. Not the wisdom that is trapped in the mind. Not the way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. But the way which opens up to life. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Many years ago, sorry, I'm telling too many stories. This wasn't as many years ago as the other one. I received an envelope through the post. It wasn't a very impressive envelope. But I looked at it and it had something different about this envelope. It had the royal seal on it. So I knew this envelope was important. And I opened the envelope. And what did I find inside? That my presence is requested by His Royal Highness, the Duke of York, at such a time and at such a place. That was my invitation, wasn't it? Jesus is offering us an invitation. Now, do you think I attended that function? Of course I did. It was in the embassy just around the road from us. I was the chaplain of the embassy at that time, therefore I got the invitation. Here is a royal invitation from Christ Himself. And as we look at our world, and as we shake and as we fear, as we see some of those certainties that we held on to falling apart like an overbaked cake. You know how they just crumble? Those certainties that we had in the past. And as our society looks for a new wisdom that is outside God, it is outside the kingdom of God, and is simply one that is based in my own thoughts and my own feelings. A wisdom in which I can declare my own sexuality. A wisdom which I can declare, this is the truth and that is not the truth. The truth is what it is to me. How can that be truth? In that context, in that environment, we have an invitation that goes out. Something that's solid. Something that's firm. And that says, take my yoke. You know, there are times when I am happy when I see the donkeys. And that's when there are two donkeys. Because they are sharing the load. And you can see they are sharing the load. And as we look at our society, as we look at our world, and as Christians increasingly feel alienated in the country which gave them birth, we can turn to Christ and take His yoke and take His strength. Because He is with us. And He reveals the Father to us. And He is the Father's wisdom. And He is the Father's relationship. A relationship that we can enjoy. That we can have. A relationship in eternity. For eternity. Praise God. Amen.